Morning. Today's daf in Shachem, daf Kuf Tes Vav. We finished yesterday the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yadal Amid Alf. We're starting today on the very top of Kuf Yadal Amid Beis. And we're up to right after the first cup of Kiddush. First of the Dal Kosos. So the Mishnah on Kuf Yadal Amid Alf, there are two Mishnahs over there. The first Mishnah talks about the first cup of Kiddush. The Dal Kosos that are occurring over the course of the evening, as we pointed out yesterday, the Mishnayos really take us through the Seder night from the context of the Kosos. The Kosos really are like the guiding posts of the evening. And so we are in the middle now of the first cup, or I should say rather right after the first cup of wine. So the Mishnah has a machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of which should come first for the bracha on the wine versus the bracha on the Kiddush. As we all know, we pass like Beis Hillel, that first we make a bracha on the wine and then we make a bracha on the Kiddush, two reasons that the Gemara gave. We discussed yesterday the Baskel that comes out and punctuates the position of Beis Hillel. Why do we need a Baskel? What does a Baskel accomplish? We talked about that yesterday as well. And then we got up to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yadal Amid Alf. So let's just quickly review the Mishnah. And we'll start with the Gemara, although the Gemara's discussion really, although related to the Mishnah, is a more general discussion. The Mishnah says, and I'm just reviewing the Mishnah on Kuf Yadal Amid Alf on the bottom, they brought in front of him. So as I pointed out yesterday, it's a machlokes between Rashbam and Tosfos, what we're talking about. Rashbam says we're talking about the actual vegetable, because now is becoming the vegetable. Why do we have a vegetable now? So because we want to shake it up. We want things to be weird. We want to act weird in this evening. We want kids to ask questions. What's going on? Usually after Kiddush we have motzi, and tonight we don't. Tonight we're bringing out a vegetable. So that's the Rashbam. Tosfos says, no, the Hevila Fanav is talking about the Shulchan. The Shulchan was not brought out until after Kiddush. Okay, we talked about this at length yesterday. But anyway, Metalba Bechazer, Sasha Magila Prepers Apa. So you dip the vegetable. Now the Mishnah is describing a scenario where you only have one type of vegetable this evening, and that is you have a marer type vegetable. Okay, so let's say from this point going forward, I'm just going to call it lettuce. That's what it is. It's lettuce. Chazeres is lettuce. The marer that we're talking about is going to be lettuce. So he has lettuce. So he dips the lettuce, and the next time we'll be dipping lettuce will be parperes apas, which as we discussed yesterday, that's a reference to the marer that comes later on when I'm eating matzah. So I'm dipping the lettuce now for the first time. And then if you have fun of matzah v'chazeres v'charos v'shnei tafshalim, and then the Mishnah talks about, and then you bring out the plate, the Seder plate that has on it matzah and maror and two cooked foods, and we'll talk more about that later on. Afapisha in charosis mitzvah, and the charosis is not necessarily a mitzvah. And then the Mishnah brought in the opinion of Rav Elazar, Rabbi Tzedek, Omer mitzvah. No, it is a mitzvah. In the Beis HaMikdash, at this point in time, now is the time to bring out the actual carbon Pesach itself. Okay. And it just sits there on the table through the Maggid section. Although, quite frankly, when the Beis HaMikdash was there, I don't know how long Maggid actually went. But okay, yes, correct. It would sit there on the table. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara now observes the following, and that is a general point, which will be discussed over the course of our Gemara. We're on the very top of Kuf Yadal Amid Beis, Amar Yish Lakish. Okay. Now, the Mishnah could have given any vegetable, right? That's clear, meaning that there's this idea that at the beginning of the Seder, we just eat a vegetable. And the purpose of doing so is so that we're weird. Okay, and this is rabbinically instituted strangeness. The rabbis want us to be weird, and therefore, they demand that at the beginning of the meal, we're going to eat a vegetable. Now, it happens to be that there's also another mitzvah that evening to eat maror. Now, maror, only certain vegetables qualify as maror. We go back all the way to the, what was it? It was the third parak, the fourth parak of Pesachim, where the Gemara over there told us which vegetables that it could qualify as maror, but one of them happens to be lettuce. Okay, so in other words, we have now an intersection of two basic ideas. One is that we're going to eat vegetables at the beginning of the meal because we want to be weird. And two is that we're going to have to eat maror later that evening. So what does the Mishnah do? The Mishnah describes a scenario where I only have not one vegetable, but one type of vegetable, meaning I only have maror. So what am I going to do? Well, it's very simple. I'll eat the maror at the beginning of the meal because we eat vegetable in the beginning of the meal. We call that karpis. So I guess we can call that karpis together. So we eat our karpis, which happens to be maror, and then the Mishnah goes on to describe how later in the evening I'm going to now then eat the maror as a mitzvah. So here it's interesting. I'm eating maror, and then I'm eating maror. Okay. So Amar Ish Lakish Zos Amaris. Now, what do we get from all this?
It's not a problem. You're eating karpas because it's supposed to be karpas.
Right.
They're eating more. I mean, it's not, everyone knows that. We all know that.
Right. It's not a problem. And now the Gemara's not going to create a problem. There's no problem. So Ish Lakish is going to make an opposite.
I don't want to be Yosemar. I don't want to be Yosemar because we know Mara comes after.
Correct. So let's see. It's not a Shaila. No one's asking a question. The Gemara's now going to state an observation. So Amar Ish Lakish Zos Amaris Mitzvah Tzrichos Kavana. So Reish Lakish says, you know what you got to say over here? You have to say that mitzvahs require kavana. Now, this is a heated debate amongst the Gemara. Comes up a couple times throughout Shas. It comes up here. Comes up in Rosh Hashanah. Other places as well. But and the discussion is as follows. Look, the Torah requires me to do mitzvahs. And, of course, the best thing to do is, while I'm doing the mitzvah, to think, I'm doing a mitzvah. Meaning, I'm putting on tefillin. So in other words, not robotically to just simply strap the tefillin around, but as I'm putting on the tefillin, recognizing, understanding, I'm putting on tefillin because Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to do so. This is what's called mitzvahs requiring kavana. You have to have intent while you're doing the mitzvah. And so the question on the table now is the following. Of course it's the best thing to have kavana, but is it necessary? Do I need kavana? Or is it just it's a nicety? It's certainly the better way to perform the mitzvah, but it's not an integral part of the mitzvah. This is our discussion of whether mitzvahs require kavana or mitzvahs do not require kavana. Now the Gemara will debate this. Now the Gemara will debate this when we get to Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara just continuously debates this point. The Gemara does not find any resolution on the issue, and we just spoke about it yesterday. I mean, we spoke about it. Rebbe spoke about it yesterday over the course of Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch takes the position that. Really, he prefers the position of mitzvahs requiring kavana, meaning he feels that that really is the ikar shita. That's the main position, and you can only understand one can clearly understand that it's only the better way to do a mitzvah is to think about what I'm doing while I'm doing the mitzvah, and not just simply to do it robotically. But the question on the table is this an integral part of the mitzvah? Do I need to have kavana in order for me to fulfill the mitzvah? So Reish Lakish says, what do you see from our Mishnah? Yeah. Yes, it's absolutely an integral part. Why? So let's follow his logic, his argument. So he says, because look, what's happening? I'm eating and I'm eating again. So it's very possible. Now I know he says the word vidilma. That dilma is a little tricky. But it's very possible that the first time I ate it, look, what I do? I made a borei pri adama while I'm eating it. Fine. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat later that evening. Well, how can you eat it later that evening? And how can I possibly make the bracha of Allah chilas mara later that evening when I already ate my mara? Must be, says Reish Lakish, that the first time I ate it, I had no intent of fulfilling the mitzvah. I was just eating it because the rabbis instructed us, tonight we're going to be weird. Tonight we're going to start the meal off with vegetable. I'm no intent on fulfilling the mitzvah of Marer. Therefore, it's not the mitzvah of Marer. And only later on that evening, when we get to Marer, we're going to be fulfilling our mitzvah. So Reish Lakish says, so what do you see? The conclusion must be, mitzvahs require kavana. They demand kavana. Because the first time I ate vegetable that night, I didn't have kavana, therefore it wasn't a mitzvah.
You have no wish to be yotzer right now. It's worse than that. You don't want to be yotzer now, because Chazal says it's later.
Yeah, but you're being fancy, meaning...
I'm not fancy. You don't want to be yotzer now. That's what Chazal told you to
right.
do. Right. Later.
Right.
Everyone knows it's karpas. It's
but the question, is it the appropriate window to be doing... All
right, so... Everyone's getting so excited. I like it. So you are being a little bit fancy in the following. Meaning you're thinking now that this person right now, that the Mishnah is describing is this person who is so in touch and so in tune with all the halachic nuances where, okay, I'm not going to fulfill my mitzvah and then later I'm going to fulfill my mitzvah. Meaning the Mishnah is making a generic statement regarding every single Jew. And why isn't it that, in other words, there are going to be some Jews saying, hey, look, this is Mara. Okay, good. You know, there's a mitzvah timar tonight. And the Mishnah is just saying, as a matter of fact, of course you're not fulfilling it now. Of course you're fulfilling it later. So what Reish Lakish is generating from over here is, and you know why? Because there's no kavana now. There'll only be kavana later. And I'll fulfill it when I have the kavana. Okay. Anyway, your point is very good. I'm just saying that's what Reish Lakish is getting out of all this. So the Gemara says, Mimai. How do I know this is so? Dilma lo'olam mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. Well, let's take the other position. Let's take this idea that mitzvahs don't require kavana. Fine. And I could still explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not such a foreign entity. And what was your question? Well, why am I dipping twice? Because look, I want the kids to know that we're weird. Meaning, the whole purpose of eating vegetable in the beginning of the meal is that we're weird. What's going to happen if we eat maror only once that evening? What's going to happen is that, okay, there's a mitzvah to eat maror. But we want to engender a certain type of inquisitiveness on the part of the kids. We want them to say, what's going on? So we're going to dip twice to get the kids to ask. V'chite ma'im kein lishmein and shayir rakos. So if that's really the point of our Mishnah, so why doesn't the Mishnah deal with a much easier scenario where you have more than one vegetable? So, the Gemara says very simply, look, of course you're right. The Mishnah could have dealt with a scenario where you have two different vegetables. You have your karpas, your regular vegetable for the beginning of the meal, and you have actual maror for later in the evening. But the Mishnah wanted to give this more unique scenario because the Mishnah wanted to make sure that we knew that dipping twice on Seder night is so important and getting the kids to ask on Seder night is so important that even if I only had one type of vegetable, a maror type vegetable, I'm still going to dip twice because I want the kids to ask in the beginning of the Seder, why are we not going into the meal? Why are we starting with vegetables? So, it's very possible that really mitzvahs do not require kavana, and it's very possible that really the mitzvah has been fulfilled in the beginning. Maybe. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But in other words, mitzvahs don't require kavana, and the idea that I'm going to be dipping twice is because I want kids to ask, why are we dipping twice? Okay, so as I pointed out in the beginning of this discussion, unresolved. Do mitzvahs require kavana? You could argue it in our Mishnah. You could argue the other way. So the Gemara does not resolve the issue, and really, that ends our discussion of whether or not mitzvahs require kavanah, mitzvahs do not require kavanah. V'od Tanya. Actually, I'm sorry, it does not end it. In other words, the Gemara continues on the discussion. I apologize. V'od Tanya, we'll learn to Nebraisa, Achlan Damai Yatsa. Let's say the vegetable you ate was Damai. Damai, meaning that you got it from an Am Haaretz, he doesn't know about the halachas of Truma Samaiso, or maybe he knows, he's not careful, whichever the case, the point is that there is a chance that he wasn't mafish Truma Samaiso, and you ate it without separating Truma Samaiso yourself. Now, when you buy Damai, the general position is that you should take off Truma Samaiso again, meaning even if he took it off, you should take it off again. If I ate Damai as part of my maror, you fulfilled your obligation. If I ate it without kavana, you were yotze. Okay, this brisa really kind of says it very bluntly, very clearly, that you don't need kavana. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. If I eat it in halves, I was yotze. Meaning, I eat a chatzi zayis on one point, I eat another chatzi zayis on another point, and we're talking about the maror, so then you were yotze, you fulfilled your obligation. But there cannot be any separation between the first half and the second half, not longer than a kedei achilas pras. Anyway, that's the brisa. What do you get from the brisa? A pretty clear picture that mitzvahs do not require kavana. The Gemara says tanahi. The Gemara says, okay, I can't. There's nothing I can do about that last brisa. You're right. The last brisa clearly holds mitzvahs do not require kavana. What I will say to you is that this is a machlokas tanaim. D'tanya with the brisa. Rabbi Yosi Omer Alpha Pishativa bechazeres mitzvah. Alpha Pishativa bechazeres. Even though I dipped the mara already once, mitzvah lahavi lafan of chazeres vecharos vishnei tashlim vakati. I'm sorry, Vishnei Tevshilin. Bring it again. Maybe the reality is that Rabbi Yossi holds that mitzvahs do not require kavana v'hai to be in a treti bule. And why dip twice? Because we want the kids to ask. We want the kids to wonder, why are you dipping twice? Imkein my mitzvah. The Gemara says, I don't know if you're right, because if you look carefully at the words of Rav Yossi, he says, mitzvah lahavi, you must bring, it's a commandment to bring. So why does he say mitzvah lahavi? It must be that even though you ate chazeres once, you ate maror once, but you're going to come and bring it again, because the first time you didn't fulfill your obligation, because mitzvahs do in fact require kavanah. Okay, adkan. Now I could say it. Now we're at the end of the Gemara's discussion of whether or not mitzvahs require kavanah or do not require kavanah. As I pointed out, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. In fact, the Gemara, from the Gemara standpoint, it's a machlokas tanaim. Whether or not mitzvahs require kavanah or not, we do see clearly one brisa say mitzvahs do not require kavanah. You can eat the maror without kavanah and still fulfill your obligation. Other brises disagree. Rav Yossi, the Gemara argues, disagrees and says that mitzvahs do require kavanah. And as I pointed out, anytime the Gemara gets into this discussion, the conclusion is going to be no conclusion, meaning there are two sides to this issue of whether mitzvahs do or do not require kavanah. One point before we go on in the Gemara, and that is Mara. Karpas. Let's go back to Karpas for just a quick moment. As I pointed out yesterday, that we had, I mentioned one machlokas regarding the karpas, and that's what do I dip the karpas in? Okay, so I pointed to the Rishonim on Kufti Dal Amud Aleph. The Rashbam says it. The Tosafot says it as well, and that is I dip it in either salt water or vinegar. Okay, that's what you dip it in. And one of the proofs that the Rashbam says, I know this is so, is because the table's not even out yet. Meaning, I'm eating vegetable even before the table even arrives. So the charosa is not even at the table. So how could I be dipping in a charosa? There must be that I'm dipping in something else. A salt water, a vinegar. Okay, but you know, you understand, the mission doesn't say.
Well,
the bracha, we're going to get to the bracha in just a moment.
But don't it, when we eat it the second time, don't make it bracha over it?
Yeah.
So doesn't that make it, because there's a special window, that's what makes it bracha?
Okay, we'll come back to that later. Well, that's going to be a big discussion coming up. Okay, so what do I dip it in? Now, I mentioned also, if you take a look at the Rambam, I'll triple check, but I'm pretty sure, the Rambam says that you dip it into the charoses, right? That's not into salt water, not into vinegar. The karpas we're talking about. You dip it into charoses. I'll double check. I'm pretty sure. And then the other issue, another big issue, is as follows: how much vegetable do you eat in the beginning of the meal? Meaning, is there a shear? Is there an amount that you have to eat? Now, it is interesting from our discussion here in the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say. Now, granted that the Braisa does say that there has to be a shear of maror, but that's maror. Meaning, maror later in the evening is a mitzvah. So because it's a mitzvah, so therefore, I'm going to eat a kezias of maror. Fine. But I'm not talking about maror right now. We're talking about karpas, that vegetable in the beginning of the meal, the one that the rabbis instructed us to eat to make sure that we behave weird. So does that weird behavior, does that require a shear, yes or no? So the general position of the Rishonim is it does not require a shear. In fact, avoid eating a shear, meaning you don't want to eat a shear, because then you have a bracha issue, because then there's a bracha achrona that you need to make, and you may not be the appropriate time to make it, so don't eat a shear. Who disagrees with that? Any guesses? The Rambam. The Rambam says that when you eat your karpas in the beginning of the meal, you have to eat a kezias, meaning it does require a shear.
How does he deal with the bracha?
Yeah, I don't know how he deals with that, but the basic idea, though, however, the picture of the Rambam, hopefully that I'm going to paint is that when it comes to karpas, the Rambam is not going to disagree with the Gemara. The Gemara says the purpose of karpas is to get the kids to ask what's going on. Right? We just want the kids to ask something. What's going on? So the purpose of karpas, as the Gemara says, is to get the kids to ask what's going on. But once the karpas is incorporated as part of the Seder, so now the karpas has like an eating status to it, meaning you dip it in the charosis, you eat a kezias of it. Meaning from the Rambam standpoint, this karpas, this vegetable that's mandated by the rabbis to eat in the beginning of the meal, takes on like regular food status, like mitzvah food status over the course of the meal, and that's why you dip in a charosis, and that's why you have to eat a shear of it. Both positions, by the way, we generally don't follow. Meaning we dip it in salt water and we eat less than a kezias. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Okay. Mishnei Tavshilon. Okay, in the Gemara we're on Kuf Yudal Med Beis, and the question on the table is as follows. The Mishnah says, here's what you do. After you eat your vegetable, so then you bring out the table, and the table has on it matzah and maror and two cooked foods. Okay, so we know what matzah is and we know what maror is. What's two cooked foods? And not only what is two cooked foods, but the bigger question is, why? Why do I have two cooked foods on my plate? So first of all, I know we're going to go in the reverse order, but let's first describe which cooked foods are we talking about. I'm Rav Huna Silkavar Rosa. So Rav Huna says, well, take out, put on your Seder plate, cook beets and cook rice. Now I know it's to us Ashkenaz, and that's like that's funny. Meaning there's a mandate. Rav Huna actually took out onto his Seder table rice. In other words, as part of the Seder plate, cooked rice went on the Seder plate. Cooked rice and cooked beets. Right. He was Jewish. So the arosa Rava have a mehadar silk of arosa hovenafik mipuma de Rav Huna. And Rava, once Rav Huna said it, so then Rava says, that's it. That's my tradition. My tradition is I'm going to follow what my Rebbe did. Now, as Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, it could be any cooked foods. It doesn't have to be rice. It doesn't have to be beets. But the point is that Rava heard it from Rav Huna, so that's it. Rava, from this point going forward, I'm putting out rice and cooked beets. So I'm Rav Ashi, Shema Minaz, Rav Huna, Leis Techai, Shleiz, Rav Yochan Ben Nuri, Detanya, Rav Yochan Ben Nuri, Omer, Oriz Mendaganu, V'chayav, V'chimutzu, Karz, V'adam, Yosei, Bo Yidei Chavaso, B'Pesach. And it's clear, I mean, we've said this already before in the Masechta, but it's clear that nobody's worried about the position of Rav Yochan Ben Nuri. Rav Yochan Ben Nuri says that rice is chametzable and matzable, two words I just made up, but it can turn into chametz and it can become matzah. It's one of the, I was going to say it's one of the five grains. That's not really a smart sentence. It's in addition to the five grains, it could also be a grain. That's the opinion of Rav Yochan Ben Nuri, and the Gemara says it's clear no one holds of that position. That is a totally rejected position, and therefore you can bring rice right on the table, and you can even make it as part of your Seder plate. Now there's a mitzvah to have two cooked foods. Now let's work backwards. Why two cooked foods? So the Rabbeinu Chananel explains, and Tosfos quotes it, and I think everybody knows this, even though I'm making it out like nobody knows this. Rabbeinu Chananel says, so one is Lezecher Karban Pesach, and the other one is Lezecher Karban Chagiga. Meaning nowadays, in the absence of an actual Karban, so we want to remind ourselves that tonight there should be a Karban. We don't have a base of mixture, there's no Karban. So therefore, what we do is we bring out two cooked foods to remind us of the Karbanos.
He says sleep,
man. Well, yeah, I'll get to that point in just a moment. It's an oddity that it has to be two cooked foods, especially when you consider the fact that the Karban Pesach was roasted, and according to the position of Ben Tema, so was the Karban Chagiga. By the way, Chagiga, remember, we're not talking about the Chagiga of Yontov, we're talking about the Chagiga of Yudalid. Right, the Chagiga of Yudalid that came in conjunction with the Karban Pesach, so that I'll have supplemental meat to be eating over the course of this evening, so that when I get to the Karban Pesach, I won't be full, but I won't be famished. I'll be somewhere in the middle. But in the meantime, however, I have two cooked foods that reminds us of it, and it's funny, it's a little bit odd, that it's cooked, and meanwhile the Karban Pesach has to be roasted. Back to the Gemara, Chizki Amar Afilo Dagu Beitza Sha'alav. You know what would serve as a good cooked food? I can have fish with a little bit of egg cooked right on top of it. Rav Yosef Amar Tzarech Shnei Minei Basar. Echa Zecha LaPesach, Echa Zecha Chagiga. Now Rav Yosef says there should be two different meats. One to remind us of the Karban Pesach and one to remind us of the Karban Chagiga.
Sorry, this is after Karban Chorban of the Beit HaMikdash.
Correct.
So what did they do before?
So beforehand, it sounds like they didn't have two cooked foods, meaning if the whole purpose of bringing it out is to remind us, so if I actually had Karban Pesach, you don't need reminders, which is probably the Pshat in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, and in the Mikdash, you would bring the actual Pesach itself, meaning to supplant, to replace the two cooked foods. We only bring out cooked foods because we don't have a Karban Pesach and a Karban Chagiga.
Their seder was the only Pesach, I mean, matzah and mora maybe.
Matzah, mora, and Karban Pesach. So, shnei b'nei basar, echad zech lepesach, echad zech lechagiga. So, and if you take a look at, again back to Tosfos, and Tosfos points out over here, that when he quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, two cooked foods, and he says, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that one should be cooked and the other one should be roasted, and he says no, they can both be cooked, and in fact the language of the Gemara is tafshilin, the language of the Mishnah is tafshilin, they can both be cooked, and again it's just a zecher, it just reminds us of the Karban Pesach. So in other words, in a chinami, you're not going to roast it because it's not the real thing. So both of them could be cooked, and the Chagiga, does it have to be roasted? They remember that was a big discussion. The Gemara ended up following like the position of Ben Tema. Right? In fact, we're going to get back to that again tomorrow, on tomorrow's daf, when tomorrow we're going to be discussing the four questions at the Seder. Ravina Amar Filo Garma Bishula. And Ravina says, you know what you could use? You could use even a bone and the juice that it gets cooked in. Meaning that'll serve as two different cooked foods. Even though I don't know how edible a bone is, but that doesn't matter. Again, this is all just zecher. It just reminds us. Okay, and bizmanenu, I would say nearly it's universal. What do we use as a cooked food? We use a shank bone, which is the last thing that was just recorded in the Gemara, and then an egg, right? That's the okay, I think, all right. I think I've been doing that my whole life, so I should be a little more confident about about that. The okay, but the cooked shank bone and an egg is what we use as our two cooked foods. Adkan. All right, we go back to this now discussion of the karpas. Now, what's happening? Our Mishnah is describing a scenario in which I don't have any other vegetable. All I have is lettuce. That's it. And I'm going to use the lettuce later on in the evening to fulfill my mitzvah of Mara. And as Ben points out, and he's absolutely accurate, that's the time to fulfill the mitzvah of Mara. Not in the beginning of the meal, but later on. Together with, in conjunction with matzah, I'm going to eat matzah, and then I'm going to eat Mara, and now I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. And what is happening, what is occurring, is that this person who only has lettuce is going to be eating lettuce twice in the evening. Once in the beginning of the meal right after Kiddush, so that we're going to behave in a weird fashion, so that the kids ask what's going on. And then later on, we're going to eat the lettuce again to fulfill the mitzvah of Mara. And now here's the question on the table. Good. I'm eating lettuce twice. Once as a way of behaving weird, as instructed by the Chachamim, and a second time to fulfill the mitzvah of Mara. Now, I know the first time I'm going to eat, I'm going to make a Bar Pri Adama. That's clear. You can't eat any food without making a bracha. So I'm going to make a Bar Pri Adama. When am I going to make the bracha of Al Achilas Marur? Now, under normal circumstances, it's not a question. I'll make that bracha later on in the evening, because that's the time that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Marur, and that's, in fact, the first time that I'm actually eating Marur. But now we're dealing with a scenario where I'm going to be eating Marur in the evening just simply because of circumstances. So when do I make the bracha of Al Achilas Marur? So watch carefully. The Gemara is going to have a debate about this issue. So, Pshita. The Gemara starts off with, let me start off with an obvious point, which is, Hechadik Ashar Yirakus Mevarcha Ashar Yirakus Bar Pri Adam Va'achal V'Hadam Mevarcha Achilas Marur Va'achal. If I have any other vegetable that I'm using for karpas, right? In the good old days, people used parsley. I still, to this day, don't understand it. And I bet you that there are still people today using parsley. Yeah, you use parsley, right? It is a traditional food. It's just not edible. but okay, so the being that I'm European descent, so I eat potato as my karpas. That's so Ashkenaz, isn't it?
Very good.
No, I'm talking about the karpas. Fine. But so if I have any other vegetable, so I'm going to make a bor pri adama, and then achal mavarcha achilas mar va'achal, and then I'm going to make, and then later on that night when I eat the actual mar itself, I'm going to make a bracha of al achilas mar. Okay. Now, by the way, although the Gemara says it's obvious, can we just for a moment discuss the following? Later on that evening when I eat the mar, you know what we're not doing? We're not going to make the bracha bor pri adama. Right, that's clear. Let me tell you what's not clear. Why not? Why don't I make a bracha bar pri adama later on in the evening when I eat the actual mara itself? So there are two opinions over here. Number one is the Rashbam, and the other one is Tosfos. And I'm sure there are more than that, but to my knowledge, there are two opinions. So the Rashbam over here writes, I'll tell you why. The reason why that you're not going to make a bracha bar pri adama later on in the evening is because you made it once before. Meaning, says the Rashbam, when I make the bar pri adama on my karpas, I have in mind, hey, this bar pri adama is going to go on the mar that I'm eating later on in the evening. Even though it might not be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours from now, it doesn't matter, you have it in mind, I'm making a bar pri adama now, and it'll cover the mar later on. That's the position. It's after the position of the, that's the position of the Rashbam. Now, a number of you have just pointed out to me, quite astutely, but I don't understand, why are you even having this discussion? The mar that you eat is after motzi. So can't the motzi be covering the maror? So that's Tosos. So Tosos later on our daf, and today's daf, says that's exactly correct. And what I just told you is exactly incorrect. It's the Tosos on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, the Tosos that starts, the second Tosos on the Amud. Hadar Achel Chasab Lo Bracha. So Tosos says, I don't need to make a Bar Pri Adama later on because it's right after motzi. So So Tosfos says, I make a motzi, and you know what happens after we make a motzi. It covers all the food over the course of the meal, this being one of the foods over the course of the meal. Okay, good. So for all of you who corrected me, so you're in good company. You're in very good company. You're with Tosfos.
But now let's
go back to the Rashbam. So now let's try to defend the Rashbam. The Rashbam clearly doesn't agree with this, because the Rashbam says that when you eat your karpas in the beginning of the meal, have in mind for the mar later on. And the Rashbam, of course, is not changing the Seder. He's going to have the mar right after the motzi. So why does he disagree? So Ben gives what I think is the correct way to understand the Rashbam, which is that the Rashbam will tell you, when you make motzi, it's going to exempt everything else in the meal. But that's anything else in the meal. Mar is not part of the meal. I'm defending the Rashbam now. Mar is not part of the meal. Mar is just that it's Seder night, it's Pesach night. There's a mitzvah to eat mar, so we're going to eat mar. And we have to eat it in conjunction next to the matzah, so we're going to eat next to the matzah. But don't call it as part of the meal. So like anything that I eat during the meal, but it's not really part of the meal, it's going to require its own separate bracha. Right? Dessert that comes at the end of the meal, under most occasions, you're going to have to make a bracha on it. So here too, mar, even though mar is in the beginning of the meal, but in defense of the Rashbam, don't say it's part of the meal. It's not part of the meal. And therefore, it would require its own bar pri adama. The Rashbam says, that's why what I'm going to do is, I know making a bar pri adama earlier in the evening, so I'll say that bracha, and I'll use it to satisfy my mar obligation as well, leaving me only the berachas mitzvah that I make on the mar. Good, so you can argue it. In fact, not only can you argue it, right? There's a Rashbam, there's a Tosfos, in terms of why we don't make a bar pri adama on the mar later that evening.
Why doesn't Tosfos require you to make a bracha on the first bite that you ate?
So again, so if he's having you eat less than a shear, so then there's no bracha achrona problem. That's yes. In other words, according to the Rashbam, the answer is simply yes. And Tosos disagrees with that. In other words, if you want to argue the point, so you have Tosos who's going to support your argument, because Tosos says it doesn't work. You can't have that kind of delay. And not only that kind of delay, but with Magid, a section of Magid right in the middle. So Tosos says that's not going
to
work.
But this goes back to the discussion about the Kiddush, because Magid is part of the meal, so it's not a hefty.
Okay. Again, the whole point is arguable. And I presented both sides of the coin. So the Gemara says, okay, so look, I'm having another vegetable to Seder night for karpas, so I'll make a bar pri adama for that, I'll eat it, and then later in the night I'll have marer, and I'll make an alachilas marer on the marer, and I'll eat the marer, and that's obvious. The Gemara says that's pashut, even though it took us 5 minutes to make the point of why we maybe don't make a bar pri adama, but okay. But in other words, but that's obvious. The Gemara says, but I'll tell you what's not obvious. What's not obvious is the following. Hecha deleka elachasa. Three lines from the bottom of Kuf Shidalam at base. But if all I have is vegetable, meaning it's vegetable, I'm sorry. If all I have is lettuce, so now my, what do I do? Meaning I know what I do. I'm going to eat the lettuce at the beginning for karpas, and I'm going to eat the lettuce again later on that evening for mara. That I know. My question is the following. When do I make the bracha of al achilas mara? The first time I eat it, or the second time I eat it? Now, I'm not going to deviate from Ben's point. Ben's point is correct. The mitzvah is occurring later in the evening. The mar that you ate later in the evening, that's the mitzvah. So, the first position, I think, is the one that's going to speak to us most intuitively. Am Rav Huna, mevarch mikara mar, bar pri adama, v'achel, ulevesof, mevarch alav, alachilas mar, v'achel. So Rav Huna's position is, okay, good, watch what we're going to do. We're going to eat mara the first time, the karpas time, and we're going to make the bracha bar pri adama. And we're going to eat mara later that evening, and we'll make an alachilas mara. Simple. So maskev l'Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, I don't agree. La'achar shemile kreiso heimenu, chozer umevarech aleha. I don't understand. But you're eating mara earlier in the evening, and your belly's getting full from the mara. So now what are you going to do? You're going to now make a bracha of al achilas mara only later on in the evening, when you did in the first part of the evening. So Rav Chista says, therefore, Ella, I'm Rav Chista, mi'ikar mevarach alav bar pri adama, v'al achilas mara, v'achil, ulu v'sof, achil achilas chasa, bilo bracha. So Rav Chista says, what I'll do is, the first time I eat mara that evening, which is karpas, it's not the mitzvah of mara, but I'm eating mara. So I'll make two brachas. I'll make a Barpi Adama. I'll make an Ala Achilas Mara. I'll eat both. And then what I'll do is, later on that evening, when I eat Marer in the right time, as the mitzvah of Marer, I make no brachas. That's the position of Rav Chisda. Now, I'll comment on this position in just a moment. Let me first get through the Gemara. Ubisturi Avdik Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes Breda Rav Yeshua, Avdik Rav Chisda. Surya falls like Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes falls like Rav Chisda, Vehilchasa Kavase de Rav Chisda. And the Halacha falls like Rav Chisda. So the position which is certainly more of a Chiddush, which you can debate, but certainly more, right, eyebrow-raising, is the position that the Gemara says is we follow the Halacha. Now, how many times is this going to come up over the course of our lifetime, where all we're going to have is lettuce and we're going to have no other vegetable? So for us, practically speaking, probably won't come into fruition, where we're only going to be having lettuce, and the question is, when do I make the bracha of Al Achilas Marer? But the Halacha is like Rav Chisda, and we make it in the beginning of the meal. Now let's put this into terms that you and I understand, and the point I'm about to make is really Tosfos's point, which is, do you know that what the Gemara here describes, we do every single year, but we probably don't notice it. And that is the following. We make the brachas ha-mitzvah early, well before we do the actual mitzvah, but what we do is we make a brachas ha-mitzvah, do a gesture that looks like the mitzvah, but we only do the actual mitzvah later on. Am I being ambiguous enough? Am I being vague enough? What am I describing? So what I'm describing is the blowing of the shofar. So Tosa says it's the same exact idea. I know you didn't think we were going here, but Tosa says it's exactly analogous. Because what happens on Rosh Hashanah? Right? Not that long ago, a month and change. So what happened was that we make a bracha, right? Lishmo kol shofar. And then we blow the shofar. And then, after that, we daven musaf. Now, that blowing of the shofar before musaf, is that real tkiya shofar? Right? It's a trick question, right? It's not. It's not. Right? It's not the real tkiya shofar. The Gemara says that the real tkiya shofar is done al habracha. Meaning the real institution of shofar is in the course of Musaf. During the silent Shemoneh Esrei for a lot of Jews, during Chazaras HaShas for a lot of other Jews, everyone does it during Chazaras HaShas, but in other words, the real institution of Tkiyah Shofar is meant to be done during Musaf al Habrachas. Meaning, think about it, Musaf was designed for shofar. Meaning the whole Musaf Rosh Hashanah was made for shofar, with the shofros and the Malchios, the Chronos shofros, and it was made for shofar. But what happened was that there was a minhag that, now exactly the development of this minhag, if and when we ever get to Rosh Hashanah, which we will, Mir Hashem, so we'll see it inside. But in other words, there was an institution that we started, which is to blow the shofar before Musaf. And they're called tkiyos de miyushav, they're called the sitting tkiyos. It used to be in the good old days, people sat for that. People didn't even stand for that. And, right, you sit for it? Mm. What happened? I didn't know that. I literally did not know that. That's a great revelation. My whole life, I know it's Kiosk and Yushev. They're the sitting Kiosk, and I know us. You know, for us Ashkenazim, correct? I know. We stand, and I'm always wondering, like, why do they call them Kiosk and Yushev? And now I know because you're supposed to sit. Okay. I literally did not know that. Anyway, they're sitting tkiyas. Now, let me ask you a question. When I perform a mitzvah, should I be sitting or standing? I should be standing. It's not, I'm telling you. I know, like, it's going to take a while for, you know, me to hammer this point home, but they're not the real tkiyas. They were put in there, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, la'arvev es ha-satan, to mix satan up, however we're supposed to understand that. So essentially what's happening is, and again, this is all Tosfos' point, I'm not generating any new point. I'm just repeating Tosfos. What we do is we make the bracha, we do what looks like to be the mitzvah, but the actual mitzvah is done later on. So Tosfos says, it's the same thing over here. Meaning that's the Rav Chisda position. Rav Chisda says, I'm going to make the bracha of Al Chilas Marer, I'm going to eat maror, even though that's not the mitzvah, because it's karpas, it's not maror. And then later on in the evening, I'll do the actual mitzvah itself. So this position of Rav Chisda, although sounds strange to us, quite frankly, says Tosos, is one that we are more accustomed to than we each actually think we know.
Why couldn't you say the same thing about tefillah? Because tefillah make a bracha everyone, and the real mitzvah comes davening Shimon Esher with tefillah.
No, but the tefillahs on tefillah are going on the tefillah. Right, that it's going on the placement of the tefillah. That's okay. There is
to be mechaben on that bracha for later on.
Correct, but in other words, but the idea that agreed, but the idea that you're making a bracha on something well before I'm going to do the actual mitzvah, I'm only doing what is like a it has the shape of a mitzvah, it looks like the mitzvah, but it's not the actual mitzvah. The actual mitzvah is later on. One other example, time is really killing me over here. One other example where this could also play out is back to the Seder night, where what do? We eat matzah on the Seder night. We eat matzah twice on the Seder night, more than twice. But in other words, but we eat in the beginning of the meal, and we eat at the end of the meal. According to a number of Rishonim, which one is the actual mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? So according, we'll talk about this in a couple days from now. According to a number of Rishonim, it's the last matzah, which is the actual mitzvah. So once, the Afikomen. So once again, same structure. I make the bracha on the Achilas Matzah. I eat the matzah, but that's not really the mitzvah. We go through the whole meal. And then I eat matzah again. Now, when I eat matzah late at the end of the meal, at the Afikomen, am I making a new bracha then? Of course not. In other words, the bracha that I made at the beginning of the meal is going to cover me at the end of the meal. So once again, it's that same structure, it's that same pattern of birchas ha-mitzvah, I don't know how to call it, pseudo-mitzvah, however you...
I mean, the matzah is for...
We'll talk about it later on. With the, according to a number we've shown him, that's the actual matzah. That's the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, so it's birchas a mitzvah, pseudo mitzvah. I don't know the right term for it, but I don't feel comfortable with that term. Pre mitzvah, and then mitzvah is later on. Okay, and we saw it now by maror, we saw it by shofar, and we saw it by matzah. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Hilchos Averchos de Rav Acha. We're on Kuf Tezvavim and Aleph. Rav Acha Bered de Rav Mahader Ashar Yirakos Lafuki Nafshem Eplukta. So Rav Acha Bered de Rav does exactly what we do, and that is get another vegetable. Meaning you don't want to get involved in this machlokes Rav Huna Rav Chisda. So get another vegetable, and so therefore for karpas you'll be eating another vegetable. You'll make your bari pri adama, and then mar with the first time this evening where I'm eating the marer, then you'll make the bracha v'achilas mar. I'm Ravi Namali Rav Mishar Shabri Rav Nasan Hachi Amar Hilam Mishmei Dekamar Lo Nichru Chinish Matzah Mar Bahadeh Adadeh V'Nechol. Don't wrap up together matzah and maror and eat them together. Okay? Why not? Mishum Desfir La Matzah Bezman Azeh Daraisa, because matzah nowadays is a mitzvah daraisa. Even though the Torah describes matzah as to be eaten in conjunction with the Karban Pesach, and even though you may argue that nowadays the mitzvah of matzah is no longer mitzvah daraisa because we don't have the Karban Pesach anymore, That's all a fair argument, but there's another pasuk in the Torah that says be'erev tochlu matzos, that I eat matzos on this evening, independent of the Karban Pesach. So even nowadays, where there's no Karban Pesach, the mitzvah of matzah is still a mitzvah d'oraisa. Maror nowadays is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, because maror in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was meant to be eaten in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. There is no independent mitzvah to eat maror outside of the Karban Pesach. When there's no longer Karban Pesach, there's no longer a mitzvah of maror. We eat maror nowadays because the Chachamim instituted that we eat maror. So therefore, it's a mitzvah derabanan. And now the problem becomes the following. If I take maror and matzah, and I bundle them together, and I wrap them together, and I know for us, with our matzah, it's hard to even imagine how I'm wrapping matzah together with maror. But if I take them and I wrap them together, what's going to happen is as follows. Now, maror's got a strong taste, and it's going to overpower the taste of the matzah. Matzah b'zman hazeh d'oraisa maror d'rabbanan v'asi maror d'rabbanan mevatel ela matzah d'oraisa. And I won't be tasting the matzah. And as the Gemara is going to spell out in just a moment, the mitzvahs on Seder night are to taste the foods. You have to taste the matzah and taste the maror. So what's going to happen now is that if I take maror and matzah, mix them together, and wrap them together, I'm not going to be tasting the matzah, and that's part of the integral. That's the integral part of the eating of the matzah. The afil amandarma matzah zain. I'm sorry, mitzvah zain mavala zuadzu. And there is an opinion that says that mitzvahs don't negate one another. Hani mila daraisa ba daraisa. But that's only if both of them are on the level of Daraisa. Or Darabanan b'Darabanan. Aval Daraisa v'Darabanan, Asi Darabanan avatala Daraisa. What's going to happen, however, is that the mitzvah Darabanan is going to come and negate the taste of the mitzvah Daraisa. The maror will negate the matzah. So therefore, don't wrap them together. Mantama deshamalei mitzvah se maval and zuazu hillel. Now, who's of that position that they are not maval to one another? That is the position of hillel. The Tanya will enter a brisa. Amar olav hillel shaya korchem bevasachas vaochlan. He would bundle them together. He would eat them together. Shenamar matzos amarim yochluhu. That he would eat the matzos and maror together. Amar Rav Yochanan chokin olav chaverav al hillel. So Rav Yochanan says hillel is a lone position. The Chachamim argue on Hillel. How do I know that? So Rav Yochanan quotes the Braisa, D'Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Yochel yikorchem bevasachas ochlan k'derech shehillel ochlan. I might have thought that I have to bundle them together. Tamalam ramatzis morim yochlu afilu zebefneatmo zebefneatmo zebefneatmo. Even if, just give me a moment, even if I eat each one individually. So maskif la Ravashi, so Ravashi says, wait a second. That braisa you just quoted, did you see it? Did you read it carefully? What does it mean, even if I eat it separate from one another? Isn't, Rav Yochanan, aren't you trying to make the point that I have to eat them separate from one another? Aren't you trying to argue the point that there are those who reject the position of Hillel? And how can the braisa say, even if I eat them separately? No. What the braisa should be saying is, I have to eat them separately. Elam Ravashi Haitana Hachi Ketani. So Ravashi says, as far as the Braisa is concerned, this is how we're going to have to learn the Braisa. Yachol Yatsa B'Yudei Chavasa Ela'im Kein Korchem Bevasachas V'Ochlan K'derech Shehila Ochlan. The Braisa says, I might have thought that according to Hillel, the only way I can fulfill my mitzvah is by eating them together. Tamad Lomar Amatzis Morim Yochlu Afilu Zeh B'Fnei Atzmo V'Zeh B'Fnei Atzmo. According to Hillel, I don't have to eat them together. I can even eat them separate apart. So in other words, this braisa really does nothing in terms of proving Rav Yochanan's point. Rav Yochanan says that the rabbis argue on Hillel. This braisa is not going to demonstrate that. All this braisa is doing is just simply stating that according to Hillel, he prefers if they were eaten together, but they don't have to be eaten together. And the Gemara's conclusion is hashta. And now, delo itmar hilchasa. Lo kehillel v'lo kerabanan. Now that the halacha falls, we don't know who the halacha falls like. Or it wasn't established. So what do we do? So the Gemara now is going to explain, and now we get a small glimpse into what we do. So what we do is that we'll make a bracha of achilas matzah. We'll eat the matzah. We'll make a bracha of achilas mara. We'll eat the mara. V'hadar achil matzah v'chasa behadeh hadadeh. B'lo bracha. And then what we'll do is then we'll eat the two of them together. Zecher l'mikdash kehillel. Which reminds us of what was done in the Mikdash like Hillel. And now going to your point, you're right, meaning Hillel was only talking about in the base of Mikdash. Correct. Because the Gemara concedes that if you hold one's a Darabanan, the other's a Daraisa, so then you can't combine them together. It only works if it's Daraisa and Daraisa. What we do nowadays, when we make our sandwich, we're not really satisfying the position of Hillel. We're not. What we're doing is reminding ourselves that once upon a time, when there was a base of Mikdash, this is how Hillel would eat it. But it's not really a satisfaction of his position. We're just doing it to remind ourselves.
Who are these rabbis who argue with Hillel? It's only Shammai and Hillel. Who would be arguing with
Hillel? Right. That's what Rav Yochanan is saying is a big kiddush. Agreed.
But I mean, who's Rabbi Yochanan to argue with Hillel? That's
he's not arguing. He's saying that the Chachamim don't agree with Hillel. Meaning he has a tradition.
It could be the later Hillel.
Right.
Nasi?
Yes, right. Correct. Could be that as well. Okay, either way. All right, I will stop over here. So again, quickly, today we wrapped up, meaning we talked about we talked about the topic of whether mitzvahs require kavana or do not require kavana, unresolved, as always in the Gemara. Two cooked foods, why the two cooked foods? If I only have Mara at the table, when do I make the bracha of Allah Chilas Mara, machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chista? The Gemara concludes like Rav Chista. We talked about how that model of making the brachas a mitzvah comes out other times of the year when we don't think it does, but it does. And then we finished up today talking about whether or not the matzah and the maror should be wrapped together. Hillel says yes. Rav Yochanan says that others disagree. Results in our conclusion, which is that we first eat matzah, We then eat maror with a brichas, a mitzvah on both, individually, and then we put the two together.